With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, the former Packer and Badger running back, high school player of the year from Georgia, Leroy Butler, inventor of the Lambeau Leap Pro Football Hall of Fame finalist, and you as we broadcast live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios, GeneWagnerPlumbing.com.
Player of the year in Georgia, and his he could have been the Nate Herschel Walker, but he come to Wisconsin. I can't wait for this book to come out. Ooh, I can't wait to release them details.
Gary, who was the running back at Georgia when you were there? If you would have came out, who would have been the running back in front of you?
Yeah, Herschel Walker.
Leroy, didn't you answer your own question?
No. He should have been the next Herschel and stay in Georgia.
He would have stayed there and play behind Herschel and then compete against Herschel and be in Herschel's shadow. Why would he do that for?
Gary was better than Herschel, man.
He could go to Wisconsin and create his own thing.
You need to stop. Let me write this.
Why would you do that?
Yes, you was.
Come on, man.
Herschel would have had to transfer, man. You talking about
G? Yeah, right. Man, ran that 100. You know Herschel would transfer. 8.9 seconds.
Glad you're following that up.
Herschel would transfer nowhere, Leroy. You know that boy. He had the golden ticket, Roy. Come on, man.
GE had
it. I'm going to tell y'all a story off air how it went down. But
Yeah, please tell us off air.
GE had a ticket, but it wasn't.
When I went to University of Georgia, I'm going to tell y'all how it went down now. No jokers come out. Because they had them the players only dorms. You know what? Yeah,
we'll put it in the book.
Did they want you to play running back, Gary, or were they wanted you to play wide receiver? Because you were wide receiver in high school.
Yeah, athlete.
Athlete. So you weren't going to play running back then. You would have been like a tight end or something.
No, well, I was too little for a tight end, but probably a receiver.
He could have played wide receiver, but did they throw the ball? They
didn't No.
They just gave it to Herschel.
Exactly.
You want to be
Who they had, Leroy? Was that Lindsey Scott? I think Lindsey Scott.
Lindsey Scott was a bad boy.
Yeah, I think they had him. That's
bad boy. Yeah. Now, Buck Ballou was in
Buck
Florida,
Ballou,
right?
Out of Val Austin.
He was in Florida. He went to Georgia. Oh, he did go to Georgia. That's right, he went to Georgia. Buck Ballou's a bad boy. See, the Georgia-Florida game was number one. NASCAR was number one for a long time in Jacksonville, Florida. Number one.
Jacksonville normally is still always a top market for NASCAR.
Always NASCAR.
Jacksonville
we
still
watch
is.
It down there.
Yep.
We love to go to Daytona. But when the Georgia-Florida game came on, we shut the whole city down, Steve. Nobody did nothing when Georgia and Florida played in Jacksonville. The whole city was shut down. 80,000 strong in the Gator. It was called the Gator Bowl. And I never forget. Those are some of the games. Cause I stayed in the inner city right down I mean, a couple miles away, you come to a certain gate. Long time ago, we were little. They let us in. The guy, the security, all the kids, come on in. Y'all stand right there. You can watch the whole game. I never forget it. Those were the best games ever. When I first saw Herschel walk, I said, man, they can't stop this guy. It's 3rd and 17, Steve. Just give it to him. He go for 80 yards. This guy was amazing, man. So Gary was better than him, though.
Okay. Adam Schefter.
He was, Steve.
Okay. Adam Schefter tweeted out the financial details, Gary, of the Patrick Mahomes deal.
Uh-oh.
Patrick Mahomes' 10-year extension is worth $450 million, sources tell ESPN. This is where I get a little bit confused because I'm not always on top of this stuff.
With green eyes.
I get a little confused on this next part. It says, Adam Schefter says, the injury guarantee is $140 million per source. So is that different from the total guarantee? Does that mean that if he gets hurt and his career is over in year three, he's still guaranteed $140 million of it? Or is that the total guarantee for the entire contract? That's where I get a little bit concerned here.
Schefter, did he get a signing bonus?
Doesn't say. I'm assuming, obviously, they all get signing bonuses, but it doesn't say in this tweet. The contract does not contain language that ties its value to percentage of the salary cap. It is the richest deal in sports history. So that deal is not tied to the salary cap. Chiefs hold true to form and not wanting to tie any players to the salary cap. They do not. But again, I still don't have a total understanding of this injury guarantee, Gary, is $140 million. Is that different than signing bonus money and total guarantee money in the deal?
Yeah, see, Steve, you guys know more about that contract stuff.
I've never had an NFL contract. I don't know anything about it.
I never had $140 million worth of contract either.
I never had $140,000. Hey, listen, the language, I don't mind them protecting themselves, but Gary, the language has to be like your guy down in Atlanta, number two. He had some good language in his contract, and then Aaron Rodgers' contract was amazing, truly amazing. Then Russell Wilson, but then at the end of the day, the Jared Goff deal, how much you get up front signing bonus, how much is guaranteed after that? You can make those numbers say whatever you want to say.
Okay, so an injury guarantee, I Googled it. Injury guarantee comes into effect if a player is released but is unable to partake in football activities or pass a physical.
Oh, an injury settlement. That's all that is.
So essentially, if he gets hurt for whatever the reason to the point where he can't play quarterback, and let's say after year three,
and walk away from the rest
after like year three, and they go, we're done, we're letting you go because you can't play anymore for anybody,
right.
He gets guaranteed that much money, which is $140 million.
Which is incredible, Steve, because he's going to get that money and get money from the NFL on top of that.
What do you mean by that?
Well, because he'll get disability.
Oh. Well, he get the, and the pension, if he get all that.
Yeah, if he gets where he can't play anymore, then the NFL going to cut him a check, too.
So he gets...
He'll probably get upwards to another $150,000 a year from the NFL.
But see, each contract has insurance. So the team ain't going to be out in. They'll just insure the contract if something happens. So everybody will be covered. I mean, insurance company make a bunch of cash. The team can get their money back if something don't happen. But you can always do this, Steve. Call them back in 5 years. We're going to guarantee you $20 million of this, and we're going to cut your salary by X. We can sign more people. You just get more money up front. So you guys, the fans are reading. Oh, he took a pay cut. When you look under the sheets, no, he didn't. He just got money guaranteed because the back end of the money may not see it anyway. So it's ways to do it. So I like that kind of language like that to protect players. If something happens, you know, you still get money. But they do injury settlements all the time. They're just not of this magnitude.
Yeah, that's just it's a huge number. So this isn't the total guarantee of the contract. This is a separate deal completely. So we still, based on...
They can have it as an attachment, too.
Right, for sure. But the actual signing bonus number, whatever else, that still has not come out.
That's what I want to
know. So we're still...
And a guarantee, them two things.
Right, so we're still waiting on what that number is. Man, $450 million. Oh, my goodness gracious. That is crazy. Also crazy is just how good a work J&J contractors do when they're working on your deck or building an outdoor oasis or redoing a room in your house, Gary. They do it all above and beyond what you could possibly imagine.
Yeah, my good friends at J&J Contractors, Steve, you're right. They can do just about anything if you want to renovate the inside of your house. They're just absolutely just perfect at what they do, guys. And they'll come out to your house and give you an honest and fair estimate of how they can come in and whatever project that you might have. Like if you want to renovate your kitchen, countertops, cabinets, those things, they can get that done too. If you want to add in a new bathroom, they can get that done too, right? If you want to do a new bedroom, you know, maybe you got a couple kids, 2-3 kids, and no, Steve Sparky Fiverr is not having another baby, but I just use it.
Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, you're welcome.
You never know what can happen. What are you talking about?
But no, he's good.
No, he made reference last week that I was having a baby, Leroy.
Yeah. Oh, so he missed. You know, maybe those. You know, maybe you want to add to a new bedroom because you're having a new baby and something like that. You need a new playroom or play area, and so my good friends at J&J Contracts come out and do that. Outside space, your outdoor oasis, they can do that as well, guys. Call my good friend up today. Ask for Jason at J&J Contractors.
Coming up next, we'll get back into baseball. And this has to do with the DH and something that was said last week here on The Fan by Pat Murphy when he was on with the franchise Tim Allen here on the Wendy's Big Show on Friday concerning the designated hitter. And maybe this isn't all good news for the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll discuss that straight ahead. Wendy's Big Show serving up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you. The question is concerning the designated hitter in the National League. We're going to have the designated hitter this year. Now, as we have stated before, this does not mean that the designated hitter will be here next year in Major League Baseball. What it does mean is it's here for this year. And to that end, we have discussed numerous times on this show, well, that's a good thing for the Brewers, right? That means Ryan Braun gets to be a designated hitter, doesn't have to worry about having a bunch of days off. So that's good to be able to play more between the outfield, first base, and the designated hitter role. Craig Council brought up that, hey, Christian Yelich might be able to get into the designated hitter role instead of giving him a day off. I'll be honest, I didn't see that as a possibility with Christian Yelich. I thought you would target either guys that aren't that good defensively, Keston Hira, as Leroy pointed out, or guys that are older, like Lorenzo Cain, like Ryan Braun, and trying to give their legs a rest and just putting them in the DH role. I figured Yelich in the prime is not somebody that would necessarily need that per se. But that's how Council sees it as of right now. Now, Pat Murphy, who is a Brewers bench coach, joined the Wendy's Big Show last Friday while Gary Leroy and myself were off and Tim Allen was filling in and talked about the designated hitter and how it affects the Brew Crew.
Yeah, Council is a master at making decisions. He is. I mean, he's a master decision maker. And it's great to watch with more weapons. He can employ more, but when you don't have the pitcher hitting, it's a different game. That's the thing that I don't think sneaky, that I don't think people understand. You know, we're all of a sudden a DH team. We're an American League team, so to speak. That's a whole different game. Substitute pattern. And it kind of clips the wings of the Brewers a little bit and kind of how we did things.
All right, so there's Pat Murphy talking about that maybe this doesn't work in the Brewers' favor because of all the managerial jockeying that gets done with in-game, with all the different moves they make, with double switches and everything else going on throughout the course of a game. Now that doesn't really come into play because the pitcher no longer hits. So from that perspective, Gary, do you think the DH actually is more harmful for the Brewers than we originally thought?
Well, I'm going to defer to you, Mr. Baseball Guy.
I never thought about it that way, to be honest with you.
And I didn't either, but go ahead.
I have said time and time again, I thought it benefited the Brewers. And I get what he's saying. He's pretty much giving Craig Counsell a pat on the butt and saying, hey, my guy here, he's one of the best managers in baseball, and he knows how to work within the rules to get the most for ourselves. And now, because of this designated hitter, he's not going to be allowed to make nearly as many moves to outwork the opposing manager and put himself, his team, in the best position to succeed. He doesn't have all those options available to him anymore. So I guess from that perspective, I get what Murph is saying as far as it kind of takes that away from Counsell, because in the AL, and this is the reason why a lot of people that don't like the designated hitter, what they point to is there's not as much strategy involved in watching an AL baseball game. It just doesn't exist nearly as much as in the NL when you have the double switches and all this other stuff going on. There's a lot more that goes into it, a lot more that a manager can do within the course of a game from a strategy standpoint versus when you have the designated hitter. So I guess, yeah, it probably does hurt the Brewers a little bit because it doesn't allow Counsell to outmanage the other guy nearly as much as he possibly could in the past, Leroy.
What's that called when they all line up on one side? When a left-handed guy comes up and everybody goes to see, like, everybody on one side.
Shift.
Yeah, the shift. Do they use that more in the AL?
No, that's just based on stats. So, yeah, both leagues use that. Sure.
So both teams use that. Yeah. Okay. And the AL, like the DH hit, and the other side don't, right?
This is just like, how it's
traditionally,
been.
Traditionally.
Traditionally, the AL has had the DH, correct.
Yeah. And most teams, like an ace, and the Brewers, like bullpen, right?
Yes.
I'm getting all this straight. I still take Counsell for 60 games. It don't matter what the rules is. And I think Gary said this about a month ago. He worked harder than anybody. This guy's pacing. He's folding his arms up. He's thinking about the next move. He's thinking about who should I put in now? Who can go two innings? Matter of fact, who can go two batters? Not innings. I need somebody to come up and throw these guys coming up, okay? So, yeah, I think you'll be fine. It's just baseball. It counts as just baseball. That's why playing the game and managing the game, there's something to that. You know, you just know what guys are thinking. So if you know what your players are thinking, you can put them in the best possible position. Because when they come in the locker room and see the lineup, okay, I'm not in today. What? You're not in it, but you're the DH. Oh, okay. I can do that role this week, you know, for this next couple games. Okay? I got a bad oblique. I didn't know we had those.
We didn't know about obliques until like 5 to 10 years ago. We didn't. And then everybody's got a bad oblique all of a sudden.
Well, we used to call them hip pointers. Remember Gary did call you a hip pointer? They'd put that needle in the pool.
It was a hip pointer. It wouldn't have
gotten
into the
oblique. But we just said it down there by your oblique. I'm trying to educate the people. But my thing is, whenever you look in the lineup, it just seemed like to me, Counsell's the kind of guy that'll just stare at it in his locker room. He'll walk away. And know what he'll do, Gary? He'll pull out the pen and go back and cross out something, put something else up there. And he'll walk away again. He'll sit in his office. No, I got to change it again before I turn it in, the card, turn it in. That's what he's good at. That's why I think that they're going to be in it with some of these other big market teams that rely on their ace, have to go 6 and 7 innings, maybe 8, and they can't. Because if you knock these guys out of the park in the first 2 or 3 innings, you got them. So, I understand what he's saying, but I'm still banking on the fact that Counsell works harder than any manager.
Well,
no,
he has.
And I said that a long time ago.
Yes, I would agree with you.
I mean, he manipulates
and
the game
what he
a
has
lot.
To work with too.
So right. So what they're doing is they're taking the ball out of his hands, so to speak. I mean, and Steve, you talked about it, right? AL managers versus NL managers, which one's easy to do. And so, and I think the Brewers were built on basically matchup substitutions, those types of things. And now those things are kind of going to go away a little bit. I mean, you still can be creative and do some of that stuff, but the DH takes it out of your hand. I still think, though, Steve, and that he mentioned it, but I still think it is advantage, Brewers, that you can get – Ryan Braun in your lineup every day with a bat. There's not a lot of teams in Major League Baseball can say they can have a Ryan Braun be the DH. To me, that still has to be a positive.
Yeah, I agree with you on that as well. Like I said, I, I hadn't thought about the managerial aspect as far as the strategy that comes in and how much of that will be taken away from council. And it's Murph giving, you know, pat on the butt to council in that interview saying how good he is and what he does. And now kind of get your wings clipped a little bit. But if we bring up, you know, he has to work harder than everybody else. It's really not that much different than Dom Capers having to work harder than everybody else, being the fact that what he was being given to work with when he was trying to do his job, or Mike McCarthy with what Ted was given the last 3 or 4 years to work with when he was trying to do his job. It all depends on what you're given. And in this situation with the Milwaukee Brewers, and limited by how much you can actually spend compared to, say, the Dodgers or the Cubs or the Cardinals or some of these other rosters, it makes everything a lot more difficult. It makes it more difficult to be a GM, makes it more difficult to be a manager in these situations as well, and essentially trying to make lemonade, you know, at this point, out of a bunch of lemons. And so far, they've been able to do that, right? I mean, they really have been able to do that. Mm-hmm. And now here is another test. And in this situation, everybody's on level playing ground because nobody knows what to expect or how this is going to play out going forward. Let's get the latest from CBS News next here on The Fan. Show served up hot and fresh on AM 1250, 105.7 FM. The Fan, he's at radio.com app. Always a great way to listen to this, no matter where you may or may not be. Other side of the glass, Dan Plucker, executive producer of today's show, wearing his Michigan Wolverines cap, Gary. I know you'd be so excited to see a Michigan Wolverines cap being worn in the Fan studios again.
He's going through nothing unusual. Pain.
Nothing unusual,
he's
right.
He's going through.
We've been through that before.
No question.
With Vernier.
And Wicket.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Wicket.
Yeah, and Rieger.
Oh, my bad. Yeah, there's Wicket, not Vernier.
Yeah, but Rieger was a Michigan. Jeff Rieger was a Michigan State fan, I think. I don't think he was a Michigan fan.
I think he was.
Yeah, he was Michigan State. Yeah. The other two knuckleheads were Michigan fans.
Yeah. They were good guys.
Oh, I like them. Yeah, I'm just saying they're Michigan fans. Okay, Cam Newton says he is done being humble. Is that good or is that bad for the New England Patriots? That is going to be our buzz of the day.
It's time for the Beauforting Sports Buzz of the Day, where we discuss today's most buzzworthy sports story, brought to you by Milwaukee's most buzzed about beverage, 100% natural Beauforting beer. Go all natural and drink in the boff.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, Leroy Butler, and you, Cam Newton. Well, he was on Instagram on Sunday night. I'll read you some of what he wrote and said. The caption to the post read, "Note to self, you are great. You are the best. You are a dog. You are a monster. You are the lion. Dash my conscience." Newton exclaimed, "I'm getting tired of being humble now." As he goes on, "I'm really a killer. I'm really a killer. You hear me? I'm getting tired of all this humble bleep. Because when you're humble, they start taking advantage of you. When you don't say nothing, they start taking advantage of you. But the hyenas can be doing all of this. The elephants can be doing all of what they do. The giraffes, the antelopes, the chimpanzees, even the gorilla. But there's one bleeping animal in the jungle, and when he roars, everything stops, and I'm about to bleeping roar." That is from one Cam Newton, who is now a member of the New England Patriots, and that's why we ask this question, which is, Cam says he is done being humble. Is that good or bad for the Patriots? 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan, and I'll start off with this one. I understand what he is saying, totally get it. I don't necessarily disagree with the mindset that he has, but I'm not sure this mindset is going to work with Bill Belichick in that locker room, because the way Bill Belichick operates, you all look up to him, and everybody else shuts up, whether that's Randy Moss, Tom Brady, or whoever else. It's his locker room, and I don't want to hear a peep out of anybody. And he chewed out Tom Brady in front of teammates in film sessions. If he chewed out Tom Brady, he's not going to be afraid to chew out Cam. How that's going to go with Cam, I have no idea. But this year, he's building himself up and getting ready to, you know, to explode and try and go have that career year and all that. I get what he's doing. I just worry about Belichick and Cam, especially if Cam's going to be vocal Cam, because I don't know how well that's going to go over, Leroy, if it's vocal Cam.
I'm going to have to refer to his coach, Ron Rivera. Had him for 9 years, I believe. Now, if I'm wrong, give or take, Twitter, leave me alone, Twitter. Sometimes I'll be off with my math. Florida State, finest.
See, you all up to Florida State in math. That's fine. Yeah.
Well, we're going to win a BCS or whatever they do in the next 2 or 3 years, however they play off. We're going to be back there, Steve. So remember this show when I say we get.
As long as y'all can count money, that's all that matters.
100. Deion taught me that. Ron Rivera said, look out. And I kind of agree with him in a way, because he has took a lot from folks, you know, for whatever reason, people don't like him. I don't know if it's his hairdo. I don't know if it's his six pack. I don't know, because he always got his shirt off. I'm jealous of him, but I mean, I like him. And I think some people forget this guy went to a Super Bowl and was MVP. I mean, it was MVP, bigger. I mean, if you don't win the Super Bowl, whatever. But if you're an MVP, that's an entire league. And I think that's the reason why he took less money. And I've heard from a reliable source, you know, from the streets, that it was a team offered him more, but he wanted to take less and prove that he got the wherewithal, I don't know if that's a word or not, to replace a Hall of Famer like Brady. So this is his way of dropping the mic and say, listen, okay, I'll play along for a minute. Yeah, I'm going to go out here and show y'all what I can do. And I like that. I like that. I don't like guys, Steve and Gary, getting fake accounts to go after somebody who said something about you. Hey, man, say it on your own Instagram. See, I follow him all the time, so I know where he's coming from. But if you don't follow him, the one thing you can't say to a rapper, Steve, you fell off. You can't say that to a rapper. What? Do you know about my platinum album? No, man, you done fell off. That's almost offensive to a quarterback if you say you done fell off. Or if you say to Aaron Rodgers, he's in decline. Or if you say to Ben Roethlisberger, like what he used to be. Certain quarterbacks ain't taking that. You just can't say that to quarterbacks. Remember they used to have a quarterback club, Gary? It was just all 32 quarterbacks. They had a club. It was just them. And you just kind of learn. And I remember closing over to one of my best friends, Steve Young, name drop. What's wrong with y'all, man? Why y'all got so many going on upstairs? He said, Leroy, it's the same as a pitcher, a closer, and a kicker. We look at things different. So if you, Cam, and all you reading all this stuff about people said I fell off and you ignored it. So what he do, Gary, when they say he fell off on Instagram, he'll release a video of him just running like a gazelle. Or he'll release a video, he looking like Simba Daddy. I think was that the son or the daughter, Lion King? Mufasa, was that the brother or that the cat? Anyway. He released, let these people know, hey, man, I ain't went nowhere. I'm still here. So I can see that frustration getting out. And I hope he does well. I really do. Because there's a lot of people don't believe in him. So he's just letting people know, listen, I'm going to get back to where I was, the MVP. I'm getting back there. And I want to let y'all know, like Mike Urban said, bring that same energy that you brought when it was negative, when it turned positive. I need the same energy.
All right, so there is Leroy Butler. We'll see what Gary Ellerson thinks on the other side of a quick timeout. Cam Newton says he's done being humble. Do you view that as good or bad for the Patriots? Our guy Travon Brown-Deer is on hold, so we'll get his thoughts as well.
Coming up next,
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh from the live from the Gene Wagner Plumbing Studios here on The Fan. Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky, Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, and you. Leroy Butler said what he had to say about Cam Newton in the last break. Cam Newton says he's done being humbled. Is that good or bad for the Patriots? We'll hear from Gary Ellerson momentarily. But first, let's check in with our guy Trav in Brown Deer. You're next on The Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Trav?
Hello, guys.
Hey, Trav.
You know, I go real fast. So, Cam, I think whatever he said, you know, I mean, he's got an opportunity, you know.
Yes, he does.
And he didn't, you know, in Carolina, you know, everybody moved on, you know. Superman, I think he's definitely a one quarterback. But sometimes, yeah, I think Belichick can help it. Right? People mm-hmm. part ways. And then the second point, you know, if somebody gets the COVID, you know, with our state, you know mm-hmm. what? And that's it. Did Giannis got his family, and I totally respect it. Yeah.
Right.
And it is, you know, so.
All right.
Thanks a lot, Trav.
Thanks for the call.
I appreciate that.
There you go, Trav.
He got a good point because Bill Belichick, he always has these nuggets. Bill Belichick worked with Corey Dillon. Remember Corey Dillon? He worked with Randy Moss, Richard Seymour. I mean, he's had guys who've been polarizing before. And these guys, other than A.B., now there's an outlier. A.B. for a minute, it didn't contain him. But, I mean, I guess once Gary, but for the most part, he's had guys been polarizing, and they go with the hoodie, and they get in line other than Antonio Brown.
All right, Gary, so what's your thought on Cam Newton? Says he's done being humble. Do you think that's good or bad for the Patriots?
That's good for the Patriots. Because you want that guy to have that edge back. And that's how he plays. And you got to let a guy be who he is. And I think Bill Belichick understands that. I think for the most part, he wants him to play within the framework of what he's trying to do. But I don't think he has a problem coaching a guy like Cam Newton, who's very outspoken, who's charismatic. I mean, I don't think he has a problem coaching a guy like that. I think it'll be good for Cam. Sometimes when you get into a situation, I think he'll make Cam a better player, a better rounded player. He'll make Cam see some things in life that he's never seen before, which I think is awesome. I think Cam will be receptive to that. So, and I think it's good for the league. I mean, Cam feel, and which he should, he felt cast out by the Panthers. I think they mm-hmm. had some sort of Mount Rushmore, Steve. I think I mentioned this. I remember you can look this up. But I think they had some sort of Mount Rushmore of the best players in Carolina Panthers history. He wasn't on it.
So what does that mean about the Panthers?
Well, and so the Panthers actually as an organization put it out there. How can you not have Cam Newton on the best players on the Mount Rushmore of the Panthers history? Which means that he feels...
No respect.
By that organization whatsoever. And then move it then after that is because it starts with Carolina. They let him go late, which they should have let him go a long time ago. They dragged the whole thing out. And then whether you believe it or not, there were some things about that he wanted to leave. He says, I didn't really want to go. You guys kept me here. So all that stuff was working. And then all of a sudden we had the COVID stuff happen. And then what we thought was teams weren't bringing him in because of his foot. Okay, you can believe that or not, but the Patriots brought him in, and I don't think they saw his foot, but, I mean, his contract is what it is, but they took a flyer on him. I don't know how you don't take a flyer on a guy like Cam Newton, what he has done.
Well, I don't know.
So basically, through the NFL, he felt like he felt that he was shunned by the NFL. So I think this is good for Cam.
I don't have a problem.
He passed a physical in March.
Right. I don't have a problem with them taking a flyer on it. My more concern is when you get to this point of where Cam seems to be headed of it's me against the world and I'm out to prove everybody wrong. How's he going to take to getting chastised by Belichick in front of everybody in the room? I mean, That's something that I'm guessing probably didn't happen much with Ron Rivera's staff in Carolina. I'm guessing. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they went after Cam in film sessions. But if Tom Brady was gotten after, and Tom Brady, I'm sure, didn't like it either, to sit there and bite your tongue and take the tongue lashing that you may or may not get for Bill Belichick, that I promise you, that is tougher than it sounds at this point, Gary.
Well, yeah, I mean, in front of everybody.
Right.
Right?
Yes, because that's not exactly respectful. That's disrespect. But he does it to everybody.
Coaches only do that to people that they can handle it. He don't do that with guys who can't handle it. All coaches do that. For instance, if Doug Evans, one of my best friends, was in my wedding, he's kind of a jokester. So to get after Doug, Homer would yell at me. And I just dealt with it. It was just funny. But I just think of it as a lot of people say, Aaron Rodgers, he got a chip on his shoulder. He's going to be MVP. But Cam can't say that. I mean, why we won't look at him the same? Okay, you know, which I don't believe in none of that. None of that stuff. You're good. Okay? Yeah, nothing motivates me. I'm good because I'm good. Nothing should motivate me. But the people that play into that, the fans, you know, because Cam got a lot of fans, and they want to see him go there. Now, Steve, I'm gonna tell you something. If he goes there and get them to the playoffs, or they get to the Super Bowl, and say they beat the Chiefs or beat Lamar, and go to the Super Bowl, boy, and he's writing history now. Because remember, nobody seemed like they wanted him. And they were giving backup quarterbacks a bunch of money, $10, $15 million just to back up. So you say he can maybe a possible starter. And you got two, you know, journeymen there. And this guy's the MVP. And I don't know what the final numbers are because I know it's escalators or whatever. Say $7.5 million, that's what they gave Bridgewater. So that was like the template, I guess. And they didn't pay him based on what he did in the past. They paid him as really, you know, kind of a fringe backup starter type. You're going with a coach that is never going to really sell you out. You know what he's going to say if Cam do something? We want to just talk about Cincinnati. No, but Cam was late to a meeting allegedly. Any Cincinnati questions? Can I help anybody? No, but wait a minute. No, we said something about we saw Cam on Instagram, you know, any questions on Cincinnati? Everybody was like, no, we want to talk about Cam Newton. He's going to believe. He's the right coach for it. Because Belichick ain't going to fall for no banana in the tailpipe to get you to say something that's a headline for his player. But if he dress him down or say something to him in front of the team, he's letting you live through the team. Brett always got blamed for stuff we did. And he took it like a man. Because you can't just say that to a rookie or a third-year guy. Just dress him down. That guy may get some type of depression and may ruin his career. But if a guy that can take it, because coach used to say, listen, I'm going to blow up in the third period, okay? I'm just letting y'all know. If you drop a pass, the media going to see me kicking dirt. I'm going to be throwing stuff all around, but in actuality, hey, I love you, but I need to go off sometime. And it's all built in and baked in. Cam going to be fine, but boy, look at the other side, Steve. If he can go to a Super Bowl or even get him into the playoffs, he's going to be look totally different. Then maybe the following year, some team that's a quarterback away, I may give him a 3-4 year deal with a bunch of money for $25, $30 million because I think I'm one quarterback away from going to a Super Bowl. I don't know who that is, but they want to see him kind of restart his career. He's doing it with the right coach.
I'd love to know this Mount Rushmore that Gary's talking about with the Panthers. I can't
oh,
find
yeah,
it.
Oh, yeah, it was everywhere.
I believe you.
Yes.
I found one.
It was embarrassing.
It wasn't from the Panthers, though. It was just somebody else. And their Mount Rushmore for the Panthers was Steve Smith Sr., Cam Newton, Luke Kuechly, and Julius Peppers. To me, those are the right four. So
articles wrote about it.
This was just recently.
Huh. All right, then.
Everybody was talking about it.
No, I believe you. Yeah. I Googled it trying to find it. I can't seem to find the link for it. All right, coming up next, we will have Pick a Lane presented to you by Great Lakes Dragway down in Union Grove. Obviously, beautiful, warm weather out here. Perfect time to have some affordable family fun. If you're into racing your car, please race it down there in Union Grove at Great Lakes Dragway. Please do not race it on city streets. Please, please, please.
It's illegal.
GreatLakesDragway.com for their upcoming schedule. Hey, let me also tell you, now is a perfect time to remind you about the Frosty Chino, because it's like 90-some degrees outside. Right now, you can get a small Wendy's Frosty Chino for just a dollar with any purchase. That's all day long with any item. Just add a dollar, and a small Frosty Chino is yours. Tomorrow's looking good at Wendy's. Offers available at participating U.S. Wendy's for a limited time. The Frosty Chino can be chocolate or vanilla, your choice. All right, coming up next, Great Lakes Dragway, Pick a Lane here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.